Okay. We started talking about pauses yesterday, and I'm gonna continue with a pause. What do you do in a pause? And you may think you're not doing anything, but I wanted to look into that a little bit further. So in reflective meditation, we don't prescribe what to do in a pause. We really help people figure out what they're doing, or give time and space for people to figure out what they're doing with the puzzle of our lives, with the puzzle of living in this world and how we relate to it. So, speaking of puzzles, my family and friends are all doing Wordle now. Maybe some other people in the world are doing it too. According to the New York Times, a lot of people are doing Wordle. And this is a puzzle, a daily puzzle, where you get six chances to guess a five-letter word. And it's really challenging, but it doesn't take too long to do. And I've noticed that people do it daily and they're really loyal to doing it. They progress as they do it, and they get a little bit more experience in their training, and they're really happy when they get the word in less tries. And they have conversations about it. They bond over this puzzle, and they often have larger goals within doing it. They're really doing it to prevent dementia or Alzheimer's, to help keep their brain sharp, and it's fun. And there's a right answer. So they love that. I love that at times too. So I'm going to compare this though with reflective meditation and really looking at our pause meditation, which allows us into the puzzle of our lives. And it's not so simple, it's not so quick. There's really no definite answers, and it's much more perplexing. But we have a loyalty to it. We do it. We show up daily. We show up for this practice, and we want to continue practicing it together. It doesn't have as large of a fan base, yay, because if it did, we would lose a lot of the intimacy that we value and the receptive listening, deep listening that we practice. But one way, when we look into this puzzle in this pause of meditation, the way we know ourselves doesn't always match our experience, and that there's ways reflective meditation can really show us some contradictions in who we are. And this pause gives us the time to contemplate those contradictions. And it's likely, if you're honest with yourself, you'll see some holes in your narratives, you'll see things that are not so certain in your life. And you'll see that you're not really the self who you thought you were. Now, I'm going to go into two definitions of self. This is from David McMahon in Rethinking Meditation. It's a newer book that's out on Buddhism. And this is how he, this is two versions of the way he put together a description of the self. So the first one, this self is a process of human subjectivity in constant flux and transformation, more of a matter of activity than static being or metaphysical essence. This self sees practice of self-cultivation, not simply self-awareness, but self-formation as an ethical subject is central. Now he compares it to another definition of self. This self is simply observing what's present, being with yourself, trying not to change anything that you already are or are not. The practice is fundamentally about being in touch with your own deep nature and letting it flow out of you unimpeded. Now, I find a tension between those two definitions. You may or may not, but at times I think that one of those definitions is more fitting for my understanding of myself. And at other times, the other definition works. And I find that the tension often comes in when I feel more of the extremes, like I'm extremely passive, not doing anything, just letting something flow. Or I'm really trying to improve or shape myself into this perfect ethical being. But somewhere in that middle range is really where our practice falls. And in some ways, I feel like we're a puzzle doing a puzzle, which is really more complex than the Wordle, in many ways, although some Wordleists might be offended by that. But there's some examples from my life. I mean, these have been on my mind, especially in thinking about the visioning of reflective meditation and where we're going and what we're going to be doing with our practice. I remember a time in my life where I was painting regularly, and this was a part of my pause. I was using oil paints and I was doing abstract work. And in the middle of painting this beautiful airscape of blues and greens and yellows, I picked up a tube of black and wrote no. And that no was actually in response to something that wasn't on my mind at the time. I was in a relationship that I really wasn't interested in pursuing, but I kept flip-flopping back and forth. And I took that no as the answer. I took that as some kind of a guidance from this puzzle that I didn't even know I was doing. And also, I thought I would be a painter, and it didn't stick. Here I am many years later, and maybe it'll come back, but it hasn't. So that self as a painter and that process of pausing is really something that was conditional. It's really not present now in my life. A second example that came to mind is I consider myself more a part of a secular practice in the modern world. I've been really trying to be engaged in the causes of this day, of what we're living with. And I would say that I've lost some of my metaphysical thinking, but I was thinking about this in meditation, is that I still like some magical thinking. And I like the word magical thinking. It makes me feel young. There's a way that it kind of opens me up. And we've been doing this when we're talking about visioning. What are some of our fantasies and some of our aspirations? For me, it's this kind of a magical thinking of things I'd like to happen, but I absolutely have no idea how they would be put into practice in the physical world. And that's still a part of my soup, even though it's not the main ingredient. It's still a spice that's working in with this kind of showing up daily, being more realistic, really taking my practice into, translating it into my life and what actions I can take and what kind of ethical person I can become. So this morning I have just really been on the word perplexity, and I like the word. It feels kind of complex. It feels different than being confused or doubting things, which is also part of being perplexed. But with that perplexity, I would like to consider more of what do we do within the pause? How do we see the perplexity play out? Because sometimes we're decorating the hallway, we're busy within a pause, we're doing other things to take our minds off of what's really important. But other times we're trying to calm ourselves or trying to figure things out. And sometimes our habitual ways of knowing ourselves are not so present, especially within meditation. We get another angle on our experience. And what I have seen over the years of practicing together, of practicing with many people, is that when we pause, we're likely to fall into something. And this is what I see it as. We're breaking up the idea of I am what I am, and there's no hope that things will change. Okay. Thank you for listening.